What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I hope you are equipped with your favorite weapon of choice. Man, this almost went really well, and then I started stumbling. We're talking about weapons today, and we've got our patrons with us. This is Tom. Lotus is here as usual. Hey, Lotus, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing less well after that attempted cringe intro.
We do this live. This is how this works. We do it live.
Yeah, usually there's no prep when one of us decides to make a really awkward joke or segue, so
or just stumbles over words.
All real.
it's all real. And the real people who are with us today include, I'm going to read out everybody's names and then you're all going to unmute yourself and make the sound of your favorite weapon. We have Ben of Temeria joining us, Rob the Princess, Falcon with a box on, and AK Spartan joining us for our patron chat for November. Welcome everybody, get ready to unmute yourselves. Ready, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Ow, my bones.
Someone's touched the beacon.
Ow, my bones. That's the sound of the weapon. Nice. All right.
I don't know.
Well, everyone's feeling a little goofy today. We're talking about weapons. I have to bring this up. As we were discussing what to talk about on the Discord, everyone's like, let's talk about weapons. And I was like, okay, cool. So I just was like, I was curious. I was like, what happens if you type in best weapons in Elder Scrolls in Google and you get this like list? You know how Google will take everything and consolidate into a list, so you don't even have to go to a website? Well, it listed for us in the first three rows. We've got Mehrunes Razor, Mace of Molag Bal, and some of you might bring up some of these, Blood Skull Blade. The fourth one on the list, sword.
Ah,
what?
Classic sword.
Classic sword. The one of the best weapons in Skyrim. Just sword. Blade of
Super
Woe.
Super unique to the Elder Scrolls universe.
It is. Kinda.
Kinda.
Yep. Super unique
name,
to the Elder Scrolls
a weapon
universe.
Has done more for the world.
Well, there are some specific swords. Mirax sword,
spear,
the dragon bane.
I was gonna say,
ebony
I
blade.
Like spear, personal.
So I thought that was hilarious. I shared it on the Discord. But
it's very funny.
But I've listed some of those out. I'm not sure if any of you will bring up those, but I want to hear which ones you think are the best weapons in any of the Elder Scrolls games. This can be Skyrim, of course, but it could be Elder Scrolls Online. Heck, it could be Daggerfall. If you came across a real badass weapon in an old game, we'd like to hear about it. So who would like to start us off? Rob?
Sure.
You're currently unmuted. I thought maybe that was a sign.
Yeah. My favorite weapon is the falling dagger from Daggerfall.
Oh, so you are picking a Daggerfall weapon.
No, I'm not. It was just a joke.
I was like, no way.
Well, I was going to say, supposedly there's that myth of the Hammerfell where it's like...
Volendrung, isn't that technically the...
Yeah, well, there's questions of Volendrung, but it was like it got its name when it fell from the sky and landed. I thought you were gonna get all like weird. And
so here's a perfect segue into my choice, which is a hammer.
Okay.
Hammer.
It's not that hammer. Well, I mean, it's the long hammer.
Is that a euphemism? Is that something? Is that like a special name you use for something else?
Captain Hammer status there. It is just the long hammer. It's a unique weapon in Skyrim. It's not a magical weapon by definition.
What is this?
Skyrim long hammer.
It's literally my favorite. Like, it's so great.
I don't know what this is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Now that I see it. Yes.
So it's it's technically like visually it's just like a style of like an orcish hammer, but it's a unique orcish hammer that you get in the Liar's Retreat or something, I think that's what it's called.
Okay. Yep, Liar's Retreat. Near the corpse of its owner, Rahd. R-A-H-D. Not another euphemism, not like R-O-D.
It even has a line about him. I can't remember what the line is, but it has like something about Rahd using the hammer before he died. And I just like it because, one, I love hammers in most like melee combat games because I love breaking people's skulls in. And if they're wearing a like suit of armor, they're like, oh, I'm invincible. I'm like, well, you're just tuna in a can and I'm going to blend you.
I'm just going to dent you up, buddy. Yeah, I'm going to make that armor impossible for you to get off.
And the long hammer is unique because it is hammers in general hit the hardest in like most mundane weapons, but they are the slowest. That's their like compensation. The long hammer is not the slowest. It's a very fast hammer. You can swing it super quick. And so you can just mess people up really fast and hit them just as hard as a normal hammer would. And because the unique weapon trait of it isn't an enchantment, you can still fully enchant the weapon on top of that with whatever you want, or leave it unenchanted if you don't want to do magic at all. Whatever you're pleasing, it's just a really good hammer.
Yeah, and it weighs less too.
Behind it,
it weighs less too. Yes. That's what helps it swing faster, and so it doesn't even take up as much like actual carry space either.
Mm-hmm. I just love the simple like mundaneness behind the hammer, and it's still like and. Game statistics wise, it's literally probably the best weapon in game because most of the other really good weapons in game have a fixed enchantment already on them, so you can't really make them any better. Whereas this one, you can up your enchanting skill all to hell and then just make it 20 times better.
So now that we have discovered the best weapon, it's time to wrap up the show. Thanks for coming.
This is like I literally did not know this was a thing.
Go find it. It's so fun.
After like 5,000 hours of Flameskin, I must just grab this thing because it looks like it's the same model as an orcish warhammer. I must just stuff it in my pack, not pay any attention to the fact that it's worded slightly different, and vendor this baby and have never noticed this. Because this is like blowing my mind currently.
It's kind of like when you find it, it's kind of like set up almost like a shrine. There's just a table in the middle of like this huge room.
I actually and looking it's at like a photo of where you would find it, and this totally even looks familiar. And I must think it's have like just never paid attention to what this thing was.
Or something. Isn't that
I guess this is the problem when you're a complete kleptomaniac and just steal everything that isn't nailed down. You tend not to look at all of it sometimes because it's like, well, I have 18,000 pounds of crap and I've been crouch walking with with the bow knocked just to get like 1% extra speed until I get back to town. And then it's like, oh man, I'm just so crushed by this. I don't care. Just give me the 55 cents it's worth and I'll get out of here.
I always just adjust the carry weight with the console command.
I don't do that.
That's what I do. I'm just all right.
If you crouch and knock a arrow in a bow, you get like 2% faster. That's so that's how I get back.
So
to
fast.
That so when you so find it, you find Rahd on the table with like a Falmor sword in his chest, and then his hammer is just sitting right next to him.
It's next to him. And the location is Liar's Retreat, which is in the Reach. It's kind of, I don't know, it's in that little mountainous area between the two rivers, like where the river bends around.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, because I learned something on the show already.
Yeah, mechanically, like one of the best weapons in the game. And also, it's just one of the most fun for me because I love crushing things and being able to crush things really fast is just awesome.
Yeah,
I know
speedy crushings.
I know you like orcs too, like Orsimer.
Yes.
That's a thing. So Orsimer, big, fast swinging hammer. It really fits.
I like orcs for the same reason why I like hammers, because they're both really good at crushing skulls.
Nice. Okay. Let's open this up. You guys, are you, any of the rest of you familiar with this weapon? Is this something?
Absolutely not.
No?
But, I love this.
This just makes me hate the Thalmor even more.
Nice.
Why?
You said Thalmor sword goes through his chest. Like
no, Thalmor.
Oh, Falmer. I thought you said Thalmor. And I was like,
Falmer?
No.
Falmer?
Yeah,
Falmer?
It's a bandit cave that was unknowingly connected to like a like the Falmer hive, I guess. And so the Falmer come out, and it's actually, there's a story behind the whole area. Like, there's journals and diaries you can pick up, and there's like this ongoing feud. Like, the bandits found out there was Falmer there and didn't leave. They're like, no, we're holding our ground. And they tried like defend it. They lost. They lost hard.
Bummer.
They all died.
Bummer, dude. It's the first time I realized that Falmer and Thalmer were so similar in the way that they sound.
I've gotten that mixed up listening to other podcasts.
That is
Thalmer
weird.
Thalmer or Thalmor.
Right. It's close. They're both close. All right. Anybody other thoughts on this one? Falcon, Spartan?
Did anyone know that it existed?
Because I was going to say, does anyone else know about this except you, actually, is just what I'm curious on.
Very happy that I'm like showing the world this weapon. I love this weapon so much.
I feel like I remember coming across it, but I don't feel like I realized how special it would be. So it probably just got sold or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the first one, the Longhammer. And I feel like that should be your nickname from now on. Rob the Longhammer.
Might be some terms of service with that.
We'll feel like that's I feel like that's a nickname for a different website.
Well, you might have some hobbies on the side. We may not.
I'm not allowed to display them publicly.
All right, who would like to go next? Who has another weapon? Ben?
Sure. So like, even though I despise the quest and how you get this weapon with a burning passion in my soul, and I'm pretty sure everybody does. But Dawnbreaker?
Yeah.
Glowy sword, right?
Yeah. I love that sword. I despise the quest so readily much. But like, it's like one of the most useful things to use in Skyrim, because you're constantly going into crypts, going against Draugr, and the thing literally wipes out Draugrs like no tomorrow.
Yeah, I also love the design of the hilt. It's super unique looking.
Very round.
I always thought that was really cool. And I don't know, I guess since we're doing weird things like learning about Longhammer, you guys know the glitch where you can get, it might have been patched at this point, where you can get two of them.
I feel like you brought this up on the show before, but
I think that's still in the game.
It's my favorite thing to do. Yeah, if you just shout it off the pedestal, it throws one against the wall, and then you can still take it out of the pedestal.
So funny enough, I've never done the glitch. It was the Draugr that's...
Oh,
like, he yelled it off, and it duplicated.
That's really funny. Yeah, it was an accident.
Like, oh, there's two.
It's like, oh, sweet. Which dual wielding those things is ridiculous.
There's a really funny meme about that, because it happens so often that like people made memes about that interaction. And it was actually a second reference to Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog movie, by the way. There's a scene from that movie where Neil Patrick Harris's character is like trying to hit on a girl. He's like, oh, weird. I ordered one smoothie, but they gave me two. And so it replaces it with two Dawnbreakers.
Wow. I didn't realize that was referencing Skyrim back when I saw
that.
That's
amazing.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Ben,
I love that.
How do you feel about wielding a weapon of Meridia?
Meridia is one of the very few Daedric princes that I'm okay with, because they're not like inherently evil.
Yeah. Like overtly, maybe overtly is the right word.
Yeah, maybe overtly evil.
There we go.
Because I do think she is inherently evil.
Oh, she is evil, but like,
according to Skyrim, she's the only nice one. Like, that's how they describe it. Her
freaking heck, in ESO, she's also like one of the few nice ones.
I was gonna say, in ESO, oh, look how great she is. Yeah, don't pay any attention to all this other stuff. No, she's super great. It's like, is she?
Well, you catch more flies with honey, so that might just be her technique, is being nice in order to get what she wants.
Yeah.
She's like more pro enslavement than Molag Bal is in ESO. Yeah,
it is funny that you say that, because it's something that's sort of overlooked, where it's like, she's not like, oh, I want to have a bunch of slaves so I can dominate them. It's no, you have far too much free will. I'm just going to take that away real quick. And it's like, oh, wow, that's really messed up. Like,
so does that give you any pause, Ben, about using a weapon of hers? Do you feel this is one of those things that like I especially playing through Skyrim back when it came out, and starting to understand the Daedra and the fact that they've imbued these weapons with power, there was a certain part of me that always felt like, okay, if I'm going to use this thing that some Daedra made, does that make me more likely to, I don't know, be somehow involved with the things that they're actually doing, or more likely to be like pulled into their plans, you know? Like, I don't know, maybe it's like remnants of the thought of like wielding the One Ring in the Lord of the Rings. It's something like that, right? Like, is this going to corrupt me in some way? Is this going to be used against me, or am I going to be using it in ways that I think are good, but they're going to be turned against me? Like that kind of thing. You ever feel that way when using like Daedric weapons?
No, because my soul is tied to Akatosh, so that I don't care.
Okay. I like to treat that like case by case scenario, depending on how I want to roleplay that character.
That's because, also
like,
true.
Officially, there is not an answer, so it's like, well, just do whatever you feel like your character would feel like.
Right.
And I have characters that like specifically are sworn to kill all undead, and like, okay, well, they'll risk using a little bit of Daedric power via weapons in order to use that against undead, if that means, you know, the ends justify the means. But they're not going to then like straight up make a deal with a Daedra and sell their soul, because that's a difference.
Right. I kind of feel like if I'm using the things that they put into the world, then it makes me more likely for them to come after me later and say something like, well, now that you've used my weapon to accomplish the things you want, you have to do this for me. You know, like that kind of thing. It's almost like I'm incentivizing into some sort of bargain without necessarily realizing it. Like, it's going to be used against me. Like, this power is not going to come for free. At some point, I'm going to have to pay the piper. And I know that that doesn't necessarily play out in a lot of like the scenarios and the way the games work, but there's that feeling of like,
yeah, there's that threat.
Getting something for free. Like, at what point am I going to owe them back? And what's that going to be?
None of the weapons you get for free. You do have to do something for each Daedric Prince.
I don't know. I guess we'd have to go through a whole list of
them,
like,
that you have to quest for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I think that makes the bond stronger.
Now, the only exception would be Hercene. Hercene owns your soul regardless, because you become a were creature.
So, kind of to that
point. Nah, I just skipped that.
So, kind of to that point, like, it's interesting, because most of the time when you do whatever the Daedric artifact quest is, you, as a side effect, are kind of referred to as their champion. So, right. Like, you kind of already, like, sealed some type of pact with them. But it is funny, because like in the end, I mean, how much soul is there to really go around when you're walking around with 16 Daedric artifacts? And it's like, it's okay, right, you right. Fine, you know what, you want my soul, come and get it, and then just let them fight it out.
That's the idea, that's the plot for the next Elder Scrolls game. Is that
which,
like, I we mean, think
the Rumble for the
I mean, I have dragon souls they can take.
It's like we think that it's going to be something, but the real plot is you do something for all the Daedric princes, and then they all try to cash in on your soul at the same time, and it creates conflict where they all have to fight each other in order to try to get
Daedric
your soul.
Prince WWE SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah.
The third act is just Storage Wars.
Man, that would
I
be
mean,
amazing.
In Magic the Gathering, there's the character Liliana who has to deal with like 7 different demon princes chasing after her because she promised her soul to every single one of them.
That's
a pretty funny story.
That's great. That's great. That's what I want to see. I want to see like conflict because of that.
The Dawnbreaker also just looks really cool, because like, fun fact again, mechanically speaking, in Skyrim, the silver swords that you can just get from the Silver Hand, you can just like loot those off the dead body. Those, like, the difference in damage between the Silver Sword and Dawnbreaker, when you look at how they deal against undead,
yep,
practically the same.
Yeah, they're almost the same thing.
Dawnbreaker looks cool as hell.
Yeah, exactly. Dawnbreaker just got the
makes fire explosions.
Am I the only one?
I love that little fire effect.
I think I'm the only one who's just kind of about the design.
Really? Oh, you're not a big fan?
I mean, it's all right. It's fine.
I mean, maybe
I don't like it. I think it looks a bit silly.
Yeah.
All right. So we got two.
The fact that it doesn't actually really have a, you know, like a hilt or whatever. Like, it's.
Oh,
like
I think the swords in Skyrim, like, kind of in general, look silly. They're a bunch of whacking paddles. Not.
I was going to say, like, too, like, unrealistic type of deal, or.
Yeah, they're just so fat and
Yeah, they are. They are kind
and
of
just big boned.
Fat.
That's true. Yeah, they're big boned. That's it.
Right. And the weights are weird because swords actually are pretty light. Like they need to be light for you to be able to swing them.
Yeah,
everything's too heavy.
Like a 10-pound sword or a 12-pound sword. I'm like, bro, I have a long sword right next to me.
This thing is
like 3 pounds.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's what's so funny about it. It was like, dude, talking about a 10-pound sword. It's like, okay, so you have a sledgehammer,
right? Yeah, you can't.
I mean, I literally have a sledgehammer that I use in my yard, and it's 20 pounds. It's like that is not something you just twirl around.
Right, you can't go. You can't march into battle and be expected to fight. Face to face with other people for any considerable amount of time with a weapon that weighs more than just a few pounds. Like you would wear yourself out.
Everyone
real
has
fast.
Those massive weapons. It evens out, I guess. So
yeah,
I guess every
swings and then blacks out in the morning.
Yeah, every battle lasts 5 minutes, and then everyone's just like, "Oh like, God, my arms!" Oh,
everyone's just built like a truck and has huge shoulders.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
But no endurance.
maybe that's how World of Warcraft works and why everybody has such big shoulders.
Oh, big shoulders? Everybody's just swinging those really big. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
That's probably it. Okay. Any other thoughts on Dawnbreaker? Are we done talking about Dawnbreaker? Anybody else?
I'm pro Silver Sword personally, but Dawnbreaker is still pretty cool.
All right.
I mean, I do like the glowing part. I do like the fact that it's like glowy and fiery and like
I
that's
feel like
cool.
If I compared its design today, I'm like, it's kind of mid. But back then, like that was the coolest thing out there.
Plus, it's really cool combo with Spellbreaker.
The shield, yeah.
It is. Wink.
Wink. Combo.
Lotus doesn't like that one at all.
No, I don't like that one at all. Not at all. Spoilers, that's going to be mine.
Is that a weapon?
It is when you hit somebody in the face with it.
I mean, I guess
you
can bash.
Respect that answer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Captain America.
Bashing is totally part of it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, let's take a quick break because we're about halfway through the show. We're going to go thank our patrons, and then we'll be right back to talk with Falcon and Spartan about their favorite weapons. So don't go anywhere.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are. Sorry we missed last week. It was Thanksgiving night, which is when we normally record the show, and then everything was just busy. So Lotus,
I was
going to
say, trying to squeeze that episode in was really not happening amongst everything else.
Yeah, things were very busy. So I apologize for missing a week. Hope everybody's doing well, and thank you to people who have signed up, to our new patron members. We have Belly Peridus. Peritus, I don't know how to pronounce that. Nikki R. Elith. Oh, I think it's Eli the Cool Guy. Oh, I figured it out. It's like Leet Speak. Eli the Cool Guy.
Nailed it.
And Pibman Jr. Welcome to the Patreon. Hope you are enjoying the ad-free episodes or whatever else you're getting, depending on which tier you signed up for. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Belli Peritus. Please let me know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, because I'm going to have to read your name multiple times if you stay at this tier. Kirasi and Sheogorath Sweetroll. These are our Daedric Princes. They get shout outs every week. Thank you so much. And to all 122 of our current patrons. Holy moly. Thank you for your support. And Lotus, we're getting close to the end of the year. We're getting close to... We're actually only about 2.5 months away from entering year 6 of the podcast. Which is crazy to think about. that's coming up. Yeah, lots of crazy stuff.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, mind-blowing. And we do have a new review that came in. Just a reminder, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. This one comes from Austintaneous95. I nailed that one. From the United States, he writes, Jigalag is free. Now, let me know what you think about this. It's been a couple months since I started listening, and I have to say, deep dives into fantasy and video game lore are what I live for, and you guys do a great job of making it engaging and entertaining. Well, thank you very much.
I'm glad.
Also, I have been waiting 266 episodes for this. The hero of Kvatch broke Jigalag's Daedric curse. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Elder Scrolls 6 plot teaming up with the other princes to stop a Grey March on all the realms of Oblivion and Mundus. What?
Ooh.
What do you think about that?
That is correct.
That, yeah. I was going to say, I like it. I mean, at least at surface value, that could be really cool, because I mean, prior to Jigalag was basically causing enough of an uproar in and amongst all the other princes that they were concerned. That would be kind of interesting if it ended up like going full circle and coming back as him being a threat again.
Yeah, you know what would be even crazier is if you have an Oblivion game save and it knows what your character looks like, and the Hero of Kvatch pulls in the character, the weird Oblivion shaped character, into new Elder Scrolls 6, like high tech, good looking
head and all.
Right,
yeah,
potato head right. And all. Especially if you made like a really dumb looking character, and then they show up and they're like, oh, it's the Hero of Kvatch, and they're back, and you're like, what the crap is this?
That was in a less ridiculous way. I thought that was neat in Mass Effect originally, when you could bring your character from 1 to 2. Mm-hmm. It was just weird enough that I was like, something's off, but like, it was close.
It was close. It was close. Some translated better than others. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I do feel like it would be really funny. It's just like, and potato time. It's like, wow. All right. Somebody is really from another era.
But especially if they go really DLC, dark.
Set it up for that.
Yeah, especially if they go really dark and they're like sinister, like they are the main villain or something, or one of the big villains, and yet they're like potato head. That would be amazing.
Yeah, just look completely ridiculous. It's like, yeah. It turns out after all this time, how eras are actually determined are by the graphical stylings in life at the time, and that's how they determine the eras. In the
the world actually
the
changes.
The world gets uglier or less ugly.
Like when little kids are like, Grandma, when did the world have color? Because they see all the old black and white photos. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was very pixelated. Yeah, just change it up like that. Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for leaving the reviews. And also, thank you to those of you who are sharing your Spotify Wrapped. Those have been going around.
Those are always fun.
People are like, yeah, I've got like, you know, I don't know, 1,000 hours of listening to you. And we're like, holy moly, that's amazing.
Yeah. Pre-show, we were talking about the fact that we've had a couple where they've broken the 1,000-hour mark in 1 year of listening. It's like, oh, wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, but oh my God.
Yeah, that's really cool. So thank you for sharing those and all of that stuff. We love the community. This community is awesome. Thanks for being here. All right, let's move on. We've got more weapons to talk about. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Thanks, Night Mommy. All right, who wants to go next? Falcon or Spartan? I call her the Night Mommy because we're real close.
I can go.
Spartan, perfect. What weapon?
Yeah, I'll go. So I was going to talk about the Champion's Cudgel, another Warhammer. I'm pretty sure it's an Imperial Warhammer. When I looked online, it said there were Imperial symbols on the side, but that is the one from the Dragonborn DLC, where the effect on it is there's a 50% chance for all three elements to pop damage, like frost, lightning, and flame, when you hit enemies, which that is why it's my favorite weapon, because when all three of those pop at the same time, because they can pop, it's a 50% chance on each. So there's a chance that you get one of the three or none of the three or all three of the three. And when you get all three of the three, I mean, it's very fun. I mean, it's a giant explosion of elemental damage coming out of a Warhammer. So that's my favorite weapon for sure.
If I remember how to do math right, then that means that there's a 1 in 8 chance, I think, of all three popping at the same time.
I don't know.
Which is good enough for me.
Does it work that way? Isn't it? It's like 50% times 50% times 50%, right? Is that how that works?
Yeah. Well, I think it's times, which is
different. Well, it would be half times a half equals a fourth times a half equals an eighth. This is now the math cast.
I'm sorry. Welcome to the show.
But either way, it's
something like that.
It's enough. It's probably somewhere in that vicinity, which means that it triggers fairly regularly, especially if you're in a big fight with lots of people. Like, swing the thing enough, eventually it's just going to pop.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. So, yeah. Yeah.
I also like that because you get it from the I think it's called the March of the Dead. Yeah, March of the Dead questline, which is like it starts in Raven Rock with the whatever the creatures, they're like the smoldering, they're like the, I don't know. They're like, they look like Draugr kind of, but they're like the smoldering, they're
like magma creatures.
Yeah, they're like the magma guys that are only on Solstheim.
Ashspawn.
And you, Ashspawn, thank you.
I'm like, spacing
on their name. Thank you.
No, I was not going to remember that. But when you have to investigate like where the Ashspawn are coming from at the end of that quest line, you fight an old general and you get the Warhammer. And I think that quest line's cool too. So that's why I like it too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So the base damage is 24. Plus, it can do 25 points of all three of those elements. So if all three of those elements proc, that's 75 damage plus 24. That's 99 damage on just one hit that can do.
I also just really like the design of this thing. I re-looked it up and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah, the design of that thing, I just think it has a really cool, like, style to it.
Uh-huh. It looks like it's real good for opening cans and then, like, tenderizing meat, and like it's a meat tenderizer,
really making sure that nail is in the door.
Yeah,
I don't even remember how it looks. It's just my favorite weapon to disenchant.
It's is it?
Oh yeah, because I was gonna say, because you can pull the enchantments off it, right?
Yeah, it's when I was talking back about how I like long hammers because you can still also enchant it.
This is take my the chaos enchant off it.
This is my favorite enchantment to put on the long hammer.
Interesting.
So.
Wow. So it combo them. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But the front of it like has that big, it's like a kind of a rectangular flat surface with the little bumps, which makes it look like a meat,
it's like a meat tenderizer.
Yeah, it's like a meat tenderizer. Also, speaking about weights, this thing weighs 27. 27 pounds.
That's what I mean. Like, try to swing that thing. I hope you hit the first time because it's going to take you a couple seconds to lift it back up.
Yeah, that's like trying to
done for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's like trying to swing a kindergartner at somebody, right? Like,
yeah, I suppose that
over and over again.
Kindergartner as a weapon.
Sure. Don't pick up children and swing them as weapons. Please don't do that.
Efficient as we're displaying right now.
As a gauge, actually. Boots, my dog, weighs less than this hammer, so like I could literally use her as a weapon and it would be easier to swing than not that I would swing her around, but also she's very fluffy, so I don't really think that would do anything except maybe put people to sleep.
It'd be very soft
weapon. Yeah, it's a very it's like
you just got a point of teeth at the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Damage. But that's but yeah, that's what, 27 pounds, good lord.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. No, that's really cool, though. Spartan, do you have any other thoughts on this?
No, I just think it's fun, especially when it all pops at the same time. Because then, I mean, there's not much that stays standing in the way of that when you get all three of those plus the base damage.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on this one?
It does look cool. I looked up what it looks like, and yeah, that's a pretty cool looking hammer.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I really like cool the design of that thing.
Yep. All right. Falcon, looks like you're up. What's your weapon?
Gloves of the pugilist?
Pugilism is punching. Pugilist means punch.
Yes. Yeah. Off of Game the Fist and the Ratway.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Unarmed runs are maybe my favorite because you just don't see those animations ever because no one uses unarmed, so it's fun to see the Dragonborn just pull like a WWE move on someone. And
I was going to describe it the exact same way, especially when they do it to like a dragon. You can like put the dragon in a chokehold and then
snap their neck. Cool.
Just like body slam the dragon. Yep. Yeah, these are cool weapons because of anybody who's been in the Ratway has come across these, right? Like you pick them up pretty early, and most people aren't doing a punching build, and so you probably just sell them or whatever. But they still weigh 2 pounds. These are pretty heavy gloves.
Pretty heavy glove. Well, the thing that so I don't sell them, actually. This is one of the few things I do hang on to, because if I play the difficulties kind of erratically type of thing. I kind of, as I level up, I like to just keep cranking the difficulty so that it stays somewhat competitive for a while until it's just like, okay, now nothing stops my character. But whenever you have like a bar fight related thing, if I know it's coming, I always like to have these with me because it's just like way easier to do any of that, especially if you're on like master or legendary difficulty. These make a world of difference.
Yeah, otherwise you're just sitting there for like a literal 5 minutes healing yourself in a brawl. Yes.
Punch, punch, run, heal, punch, punch, run, heal, punch. But yeah, these streamline that quite a bit.
And yeah, you can disenchant these and disenchant it further on another pair of gloves.
I was about to say, I very rarely do keep the actual item. I usually disenchant it because the heavy armor perk tied to doing unarmed damage does not apply to these. Because it's light armor, I think it's hide, so it's light armor.
Yeah, they're light armor. Yeah, yeah.
So I disenchant it and throw it on, like, whatever my heavy armor at the time is.
That's smart. That makes sense. Because then you can go heavy armor, punchy build.
Then it stacks, and you're doing, like, 45 unarmed damage.
And if you have a better enchanting skill, then that extra 10 points of damage goes up to, like, an extra 30 points of damage, depending on your enchanting skill.
Yeah, and then you're basically hitting, like, a truck at that point.
It just gets ridiculous.
And then with the anniversary edition, didn't they add gloves with like spikes on them?
Yes, they did.
To make it look cooler.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, these are cool. These, I mean, it's one of those, you come across certain weapons on playthroughs more often than other weapons, depending on where you're going. The Ratway is kind of a common thing to do because of the Thieves Guild and all of that. So you come across these a lot, but they're not one of those weapons that I think about very often. You know, it's just, I'm like, oh yeah, these are here.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but yeah, absolutely,
that ends up being some of the most useful things. Oftentimes it's just like, oh yeah, it's just standard useful, but it's not like flashy, so it doesn't come to mind first. Like,
right,
I probably would have chosen this as my favorite if I had remembered. I forgot about them because they are kind of forgettable, but
they totally are. They're just kind they're of not useful to have.
And they're also not like, I guess technically weapon, they are
armor. Same argument that Lotus made with a Spellbreaker, though,
right? It's like, I mean, you can make most things into a weapon if you try hard enough.
It's a weapon.
That's Lotus's mantra. Watch out, don't even give him a glass of milk. Everything's a weapon.
that's generally just my mantra through life, regardless of the scenario.
Show you a milk drinker.
He's like the John Wick of the Elder Scrolls community. Like, he killed him with a pencil. The other thing about these is because they are so mundane, they just look like these leather gauntlets, right? Like, they're just gloves. They're not even gauntlets. They're just gloves. What would be amazing is if they glowed or did something stupid. I'm sure there's a mod out there that does that. But, you know, it's kind of a fun idea if you're punching somebody in the face to also be blinding them with your fists while punching them in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I could go with that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So,
ballistic fist.
Yeah. So this is a good one, Falcon. Any other thoughts on this from anybody?
I just love blunt, damaging weapons. The animations tied to them are so much more like entertaining. Like, swords and axes are cool, but you're cutting your enemies open, you're stabbing them to death. I'd rather just beat them down. That's why I like the hammers. I like, and the unarmed fist is just, yes, I want to crush my enemies. I love it. I love it.
Skyrim Batman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. He's not actually killing anyone. He's just hurting them.
They just go to sleep.
Sure.
Yeah, they're just sleeping.
Yeah, that guy that just dropped off the building, that Batman didn't kill him.
Have you seen that College Humor skit where Batman just thinks they're always going to sleep? Like, what are you talking about? They're just sleeping.
They're just sleeping.
There's a batarang in his head.
So, Lotus, are we talking about a shield? Is that where you're going? Yeah,
so my favorite weapon, because I actually, it's funny, honestly, it didn't even cross my mind that that wouldn't be considered a weapon, because it's like a holdable thing that I consider like part of it. But yeah, I guess theoretically, like, it's also outside bashing, it's much more of a defensive thing, but I guess that's kind of par and parcel with my play style anyways. Spellbreaker is definitely, like, I would say my favorite weapon, if you consider a shield a weapon, which I do, just because other than the aesthetic itself looking really cool and pretty weird, like, it's almost like, yeah, okay, it's got the Dwemer aesthetic thing to it, but it really almost doesn't fit the aesthetic to a lot of the game. It's weird. Like, it sort of looks like a satellite dish and has for quite some time. And it's always looked weird, no matter how, like, no matter what rendition of it you get in any game, it always sort of looks pseudo spacey. I would describe it as
ugly.
Ugly is a wrong way of explaining it, but
don't get in a fight with Lotus. He'll kill you with whatever's nearby.
I just love that thing. I think it's really unique, and I never really don't find it to be useful, because again, being able to just essentially absorb anything people are throwing at you to a degree, and it changes based on game to an extent. I really like the fact that it kind of just like nullifies people trying to use magic against me so that I can just cleave them up. That makes it way more fun. The only negative to it is the ridiculous dialogue that is now associated with it from the dungeon scale caller's peak from ESO, because
my shield.
Yeah. So that was notoriously one of the hardest dungeons in ESO for quite some time. Years ago now, I mean, you've kind of outpowered it. But that dungeon is sort of a fan favorite. Everybody likes that dungeon, and it's very Perryite based, which is interesting because Perryite largely sucks. So it is having based. A really cool weapon is a huge plus. But yeah, the dialogue from the person who has it, she's a former dragon priest. Her voice is insufferable, and she's throwing the shield around the field and stuff like that, and it's just feel Spellbreaker's might. It's like, all right, shut, no more speaking. Like, we can't be doing this. Like, that is rough. So that puts a bit of a damper on the mystique of my favorite weapon.
Bummer, dude.
By insufferable, you mean like it's so pleasant that you will never suffer?
It's sure. Yes. You know what? It turns out I love that sound.
It's so pleasant that he will never hear anything ever again that would hurt his ears.
But I did kind of have a, just one honorable mention that I wanted to do because I didn't consider this not a weapon. So I had an honorable mention of something that's an artifact that I feel could turn you into a weapon as opposed to it being a weapon itself. And it's a Morrowind thing. They're called the Boots of Blinding Speed. Anybody who doesn't know what they are, they're boots that literally make you blind. You go so fast, so your screen goes black and you just slam into things. You need to basically cast resistance spells and stuff to be able to even try to navigate with them. But I didn't choose that because, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, but I always thought those things were really funny to just imagine somebody putting them on and torpedoing through people unintentionally, like a literal human torpedo, because it's like max speed, but you have no idea what you're doing the entire time.
Right. Like the Flash out of control, just like running through people.
The scene from The Boys.
Yes.
There you go.
Exactly.
I always thought that was kind of funny because I used to use that a lot when I was just looking for things to do in my Morrowind playthrough. And it was just like, I thought it was a shame that in Morrowind, you don't have all the wacky Havoc engine stuff that you have in the new games. And I wish you did, because it just seems like it would be absolutely ridiculous slamming into things, either doing impact damage or just hurling them into the distance and stuff.
Dude, I hope this is in like Skywind. That would be amazing. I also wonder if that's like a limitation of the engine. Like, they were like, we want to make you go real fast, but we can't load things fast enough. So let's just blank out the screen.
Do you think they just teleported the character?
Well, so it's funny. If you actually use them in game, this is not what I intended to bring us on a Boots of Blinding Speed tangent, but you can actually cast stuff to minimize the effects of it. Like Night Eye helps. Casting magic or resistance on yourself helps. And you can sort of see while doing it.
It's like running around at fast speeds while like suffering like some sort of eye disease cataracts
the
or something.
Is literally just like grainy, like super zoomed in, just trash.
Right. Realistically, that's about as good as your vision would ever be if you didn't have goggles.
Right.
Yeah. Or being super drunk.
Or being super drunk, exactly. But yeah, no, there are ways to kind of minimize the effects of it. So you can see what it looks like if you want to do that. It's just, you got to fight the boots.
That's so weird.
I was half expecting Ben to choose Silver Sword because, you know, The Witcher.
Yeah, Silver Sword. That would make sense.
Not in Elder Scrolls, I'm sorry.
It's a pretty good weapon against undead.
I mean, especially if you're playing like Oblivion and you need a weapon to actually hit a ghost.
Yeah. You know? I do wish they'd bring that back.
That's yeah.
A story for another day, but
I thought that was cool too. All right. So I've got a weapon to wrap us up. We're getting close to the end of the show.
What do you got?
I mean, this is milquetoast compared to some of the stuff you guys have come up with. But you know, you can't go wrong with the Blade of Woe. Especially okay. when you're being a sneaky well, stabby.
Say, if you say number four sword, I'm not
number four sword. Can't go wrong with sword. Google lists sword it
specifically.
Google lists it as one of the best weapons in Skyrim. It's fourth on the list.
And you know what? I agree.
Sword. I mean, you get one right at the beginning of the game.
it's amazing. With me always. No, to be fair, the Blade of Woe is actually really cool. So
yeah,
I can understand why. I can understand why you would pick it.
I mean, I like Dark Brotherhood stuff. I like sneaky stuff.
Yep.
I like the sneaky stabby stuff, and the fact that it just sucks people's health out of them into you, it's pretty cool. I mean,
you yep. can literally cut them with all that edge.
Cut them with all that edge.
The design though is also very unique.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It's cool looking. So,
interesting. One of the things that I always find kind of strange with the Blade of Woe. What do you think about Mehrunes' razor? I always find those very like similar, like in aesthetic. That's the dual wield build.
That's the dual wield build. Yeah. So the difference is Mehrunes' razor hits have a small chance to instantly kill.
Yeah. No.
Which is nice.
Yeah. It immediately sends their soul to oblivion.
So
and it's just
that's more offensive, and then absorbing 10 points of health is more defensive. Right.
It's much more defensive.
So,
sure.
Both
also like totally siphoning their life essence. So like lore wise, they're very similar. One's trapping your soul. The other one's siphoning their life essence.
Right. You know, and going back to like every time we talk about these things, I try to remember the first time I played through, like what was my feeling about these things, like coming across Mehrunes' razor in Skyrim, having already played Oblivion, gives me a bit of the, I mean, it's silly to say that this gives me the heebie-jeebies, but the Blade of Woe doesn't for some reason. But there's something about like that's a Mehrunes' Dagon thing. I'm gonna hard pass on that.
Oh, okay. That's a different direction than I.
But you know, Dark Brotherhood, Sithis, whatever.
It's
sure,
fine.
Cool.
Okay.
Creepy.
When you said that's that fine. Gave you the heebie-jeebies, I brought it up because again, I find them kind of like related. They're not the same thing, obviously, but like related. I won't use Mehrunes' razor, not because of lore reasons, but because one of the times I was using it, the thing had a percent chance to reflect, and I sent myself to oblivion and just immediately died, game over.
Nice.
Which is an effect I did not know could happen until it happened to me, and I was like, well, F that, I ain't using this thing anymore. What if somebody has reflect? Wow.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Okay, so one last thing before we wrap this up. How much do you think each of these things weigh? How much do you think, without looking, don't look it up.
Oh,
how much
daggers?
How much does the Blade of Woe weigh?
7 pounds.
I'm going to say 3. I feel like daggers were like 2 or 3.
4.5.
Okay, so
2.5.
Ben is right. The Blade of Woe is 7 pounds. How much do you think? How do you think? How much do you think? Can you imagine a 7-pound dagger? How much do you think Mehrunes' razor weighs?
Probably like 10.
4.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.5. I'm going to just say the same answer I said a second ago with Ben, because Ben was right.
3. 3 pounds. What?
Close.
Okay. Yeah, the whole weight thing is just so random.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Looks
which
like
one,
all that extra weight is stored in Oblivion.
Which one do you think does more base damage?
This is
without enchantments
pounds,
or anything else going on.
Blade of Woe.
Yeah, I think the Blade of Woe would, because I think the gimmick to Mehrunes' razor is the fact that it's fine, but it can one shot.
Okay, so how much do you think they do?
Like number-wise?
Blade of Woe, I think, is what I think
9 and 10?
4. Oh, wait, no, base damage is probably less than 10. Because I think a sword is 10.
Yeah, I'd say...
I want to say 9 is Blade of Woe.
I would go with 8, unless it's ESO, in which it's whatever my opponent is, because
weapon,
it auto-kills
so
them.
It might be above a base sword, because it's a magic dagger.
No, I'm going to stick with 8.
I'm going to go 10.
All right,
15.
No, nobody got it. Falcon overshoots. 12. Blade of Woe does 12 damage.
Okay,
Mehrunes' razor does 11.
Rules, I win.
It's 11. They're only one off.
Wow, I'm surprised. I would have figured Mehrunes Razor was much lower because of that ridiculous enchant.
Right.
Extra pounds don't do anything.
Yeah, the extra pounds.
All that extra weight doesn't amount to much.
It's wild to me that the dagger weighs 7 pounds when this longsword is like 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, it never says pounds. Oh, yeah.
Right.
To be fair.
That is true. And if it's based on, I guess, you know what? Maybe we're taking this out of context to Falcon's point.
Is it kilos?
If you look at it just says weight and then it's a number. And if you look at the weight in the Oblivion like book, the inventory screen that looks like paper, they're little feathers. So maybe they're that many feathers.
Yeah, maybe
so
that's how many feathers
super
there.
Light.
Maybe.
It's 20 feathers instead.
Maybe. I wonder if there's something we know in the real world an actual weight for that we can use as like a grounding point.
I mean, the average longsword weighs about 2.5 to 3 pounds.
Right, but assuming that it's not the weapons, like, what if there's just like an ingot of iron, and an ingot of iron has a standard size and a standard weight,
sure,
something like that, right? And then we can use that as like the
grounding point. But then you gotta be like, okay, well, what if their standards are different?
Right.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, because we all agree on units in this world. So
or something as simple as like, I don't know, maybe we have the weight of a horse.
Cabbage.
And then we can say like the average weight of a horse or an average cabbage. Like you probably think something that's
don't they
about.
Have height and weight of people? So you could like, okay, that's, well, this maybe? Person who's like 5'10" is this much, so this should be
right. The average, you know, male 5'10", you know, human male weighs
I think
about
like
this much.
Like Daggerfall and like some of the older games used to have stats like that. They don't anymore.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, this
is oppressively heavy in Daggerfall.
That's Well, this is a wonderful question. Anybody who's listening wants to dig into this more.
Is oppressive in Daggerfall.
Not wrong.
Well, let us know. Let us know if you have any more insight into the weight system.
That's a fascinating like side thing. It's like, maybe everything's super heavy. And it's like, no, it's talking like, it's 22 petals. Like, it's not actually that heavy. What are you talking about? It's like,
I feel like this is like a potential really big like sleeper hit YouTube video, like the kind of thing you put out there.
Things weigh
right, like you do a nice little 20-minute video of like a deep investigation of weights in Skyrim, and somehow
and measurements in
people just find it this for is, years, and then there's like a million
this is
views.
Definitely written an uncertainty episode,
right?
Maybe
a dissertation.
Yeah. It's just well, I guess we'll find out. But we got to wrap it up. Thank you for joining me, everybody. Thank you, chat, for being here. Let's go back through everybody. Please feel free to share whatever thing you got going on, or say, hey, cool, thanks for being here, or whatever. Let's start with Ben. We're going through the list. Ben, you've got shows.
I do. I have too many shows. So yes, you can find me on the Robots Radio Network with the shows that I host, the Holocron Histories for Star Wars, Final Fantasy, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, the Wizarding World Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. So many shows. And you can also find me on Twitch at Benetamere as well, where I am trying to get affiliated, and I am like so close.
So close.
So close.
So close. You'll get there. Soon. Remember the soon meme?
Yep.
Soon.
That's one of my favorite all-time memes of like just peeking over something. Soon.
I had a friend who I didn't talk to for years, and she just tried to like reignite our friendship by sending me those memes out of nowhere without any context.
That one and the all the things meme. The all the things.
Oh, yes.
Man, these are old. These are old memes.
Those are real old.
Yeah, we're turning to dust. At the end of this episode, I'll bring up all these.
We're 500 years old. We've been podcasting for centuries at this point. Rob, what do you got going on? Anything?
No.
No. Just playing Baldur's Gate.
Thought before it though.
I was like, I feel like I have like a lot going on, but nah. I'm. You know, follow me on whatever, Rob the Princess. I am still a guild officer of the PCNA guild for the Lorecasters, along with Jillian, who's definitely been doing a lot of heavy lifting for me lately because I'm still playing a lot of Baldur's Gate. I think that's about it. Cool. Skype Living Project.
Woo!
Shout out.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Falcon, you're up next. You got anything to share? Anything going on?
I don't do anything. this is the really extent of my online presence.
Nice.
I am doing, so I have like 3,000 or 4,000 hours in Skyrim. It's somewhere in between those. And I'm doing my first mage run through. And yeah, I like it. It's enjoyable.
It's really backloaded. It's really, as a play
it's
style.
It's really easy.
So
comparatively.
Yeah. So it actually starts harder, but then gets really easy. So if you're already not having a problem with it, prepare for it to get like autoplay.
I feel like there's, I feel like there's like a mid, like a
50 destruction and it's nothing.
Yeah.
It stands a chance now.
I feel like the hardest point is when you go from just, you know, fire hosing things to like shooting individual projectiles and then missing stuff. And you're like, I should be doing more damage, but I can't hit things because I'm missing shots
once
now.
Once you learn how to aim, it's
it's just, you do the cold magic and that staggers them. And so you're just, as long as you keep hitting them, your enemy just keeps doing nothing else but get hit
because
it's staggered.
So that's always like the little bit of a hiccup until you figure out
how to it's just like that. And once once you get the pattern of that, it's like, okay, and now just everything is destroyed forever.
Yep. Well, cool, man. Well, thanks for joining us. And then Spartan's got a new project talk about.
I'm one of the hosts of the Elden Archives, which is an Elden Ring From Software lorecast coming to the network. I'm in the Rocket Club doing that. That is, we actually just finished up kind of everything for the first batch. For episode zero should be up soon, which is just kind of like an introduction to myself and the other host. And then the full episodes and all that should probably be out by the next time we're doing this next month.
Yeah, by the end of the year, launching
it. That's awesome.
So that's coming pretty quick. And then other than that, I've just been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. I think Rob and I have two playthroughs now. And then I have like 3 or 4 others myself on top of that. And then I've been playing a lot of Remnant 2, which has been a lot of fun. I'm glad actually that game got thrown in for, not that the Game Awards like mean that much to anything, but I think that game's up for Action Game of the Year, and that's not like a big developer, so I'm glad to see those guys get some props.
That's cool. Yeah, I still need to finish Baldur's Gate. I got sidetracked and I never even got through the first chapter.
I still haven't finished it.
I know, that's a sin. I will keep that in mind, Rob, because I'm trying. There's a friend of mine I'm trying to get to buy it. I'm trying to convince him to buy it on PC so we can play together. But he might get it on Xbox so we can play with his dad and his brother. What's that all about? Whatever.
I'm about to start my 10th playthrough.
Jeez,
I haven't finished any of them.
None of them.
Amazing.
Good, because the new epilogue update just. Launch.
Yes.
Yeah. New update for that. Also, Lotus and I are doing this. If you're listening to this on the download version, which probably is going to go up on like Monday, you're going to miss this. This weekend, we're doing a bunch of games. Lotus is probably going to lose a ton of sleep, and then
that's the plan. Yeah.
And then I'm jumping in after Ark on Sunday, and I haven't decided what I'm playing
weekend long.
I've been thinking Elder Scrolls, but I've also been like, maybe I should just play some Baldur's Gate because that's cool too.
Play whatever.
So
been chatting that out on my shows for you for this.
I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for an awesome cause, so.
Yeah, so fun stuff if you're here in the live show in order to...
For any of you here in the live show, feel free to drop by and watch all of us play while sleep deprived and give away lots of stuff as we hit milestones, because it's just for anybody in chat, and UESP as well as ZeniMax has provided quite a few things for us to give away in terms of Elder Scrolls goodies.
Yeah, so lots of cool stuff. Make sure you're following Lotus, Arcaneer, and then myself on Robots Radio, all on Twitch, all of that stuff. Lotus, you have anything else going on?
No, the big plan is just I've been trying to put my efforts into getting that organized. Trying to get everything done before this weekend, since I will basically be playing video games a ton. Oh, woe is me. But then dealing from the repercussions of not sleeping from playing so many video games. So, yeah, I don't want to do anything on Sunday like evening that requires too much thought, because it's probably going to be a lot of fail otherwise.
Right. All right. Well, good luck with all that. And of course, you guys know the rest of my shows and a lot of these people's shows, all of robotsradio.net. Go check it out. Lots of content. And thank you for joining us. And guys, thank you for being here, patrons, so much. We appreciate your support, and we couldn't do it without you. All right, everybody, have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you next time with another regular episode. Stay safe out there. And if you're wielding a sword, make sure you're not fighting somebody who bounces the instant kill damage back in your own face. Because then you're going to be Mehrunes' best friend.
You'll be Mehrunes Dagond.
You'll be Mehrunes Dagond. See you later. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.